Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the principal advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to provide a market update with returns to the end of September. I also provide this monthly market update as a blog post, which you can reference for some helpful graphs, as well as a link that I'll mention at the end of this blog post. The general format that I use is going to be the same as past market updates. I'm going to give you an update on the major asset classes and any noteworthy moves for the month, definitely down this month. I'll give you an update on the Treasury market and interest rates, definitely up this month. Comment on the actions from the Federal Reserve, and then my special topic this month, a reminder of a blog post I did about the GameStop, given the fact that this dumb money movie is out recently. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So again, following the format as usual, from my blog post, I have a table which shows the major asset classes. I show the returns for the past 1 month of September, and then year-to-date returns, as well as last year full-year returns, just for context. I also show some volatility, as I define it as standard deviation, but let's focus on returns for this blog post. So definitely looking at the month, all are negative. The only positives are cash returns and inflation. So definitely it was a pretty ugly month for the month of September here. Following on, we started pulling back in August as well. If you look at the table, it's color-coded for the largest negatives being the reds and the either positive or least negative being the greens. The biggest red actually is the 30-year Treasury benchmark. That was down 7.6% for the month alone. So bringing the year-to-date return down to 9.7% for that index. So not quite as bad as a full-year bloodbath of bonds for 2022, but the year's not over, and rates are definitely on the move. And those are through 9:30. So the last couple of days here, it's moved another big chunks. And so definitely that is the story of the month, is interest rates and what it's doing to the overall markets. So again, 30-year bonds got the award for the lowest return. Not far behind that. So REITs, U.S. REITs, they were down just over 7%. Again, those are rate sensitive. And so that took a hit, but it's also that market, I think, is starting to get priced in. Commercial real estate market is been talked about a lot, expected to have this downturn, but it seems to be this slow-moving train wreck, but that train wreck is still yet to come, and so it appears that the market is starting to price more of that in. So in the asset classes, there are no positive returns for the month, but commodities is the closest one to being positive. It was only down 0.7%. So historically, or not historically, but the last few months and even year to date here, the commodities has been kind of the laggard and showing negative returns throughout. So it definitely, it's still down on the year. It's down minus 3.4%, but no longer the worst. You know, the global REITs and 30-year bond on a year-to-date basis now are worse than commodities. But overall, commodities had a good month, down slightly. Definitely energy was up big, and so that had the kiss from the energy sector to give it the nice return, relatively speaking, with the rest. And then moving again, and I also show on my blog post, again, due to the large move in interest rates and the big, you know, negative 7.6 for 1 month for a bond asset class, that might get people's attention. So, you know, what the hell's going on? Again, I've been a big a reminder of the concept of duration. So this month, again, I add the formula to the duration, using duration related to the maturity of bonds and rate moves and how much you can expect to lose if rates rise. So check that out. You know, the approximate price change for a bond or a bond fund that you hold. I like bond funds for more flexibility and ease. But so the approximate price change is equal to the negative duration times the change in rates. And so in that example here, using the 30-year, it's got a 16.2 duration based upon Refinitiv. Let's just assume that rates moved about 0.5% up for the month of September, not quite that much, but let's just go with that for ease here. So then the formula is minus 6.2 times 0.005 gives you a minus 0.081, and that's very close to that 7.6 change. So again, duration is a very helpful thing to know and love, maybe not love, but be aware of it as a bond investor. So moving on now, back to the, still with the asset class returns here, the next chart I show on my blog post is a graph. I grabbed the ETFs, just for ease of graphing here, of the major asset classes. So again, it's going to be similar to the asset classes that you see up above in the table, but this shows you what the return has been throughout the year to date so far. So you can see, the thing that jumps out to me, I call it the mountain peak. So July 31st was kind of the peak in risky asset classes. And so you can see since then we've come down. So the S&P at the end of end of July would have been around 20%, up 20% year to date alone. And then it pulled back some in August. Actually, it was pulling back quite a bit, but it recovered right into month end August 31st. And so maybe people didn't feel like it was so bad based upon their August 31st reports, but we took that back and then some. So the graph I do show through 10-3 on my website. So it's updated as of last night with markets closed reflected. So through 10-3, S&P is now up just over 10%. But the interesting thing is you look at the graph, at least for me anyway, almost everything else, with the exception, I guess, of international developed markets, but all the other ones are negative now on a year-to-date basis. Again, as a quick note, this is a price return chart. So the bond indices and even some of the equities that have higher dividends, but this is price return only. But looking at the ag at minus 4, yeah, dividends would not have made that up. High yield, you probably have a positive, slight positive on a total return basis, but price return only down about 2%. So that shows you just the movement and what's been going on throughout the year. Again, major peaks that we saw in July, everything was kind of giddy. And then the Fed kind of reminded us that, hey, we're going to keep rates higher here. I'll talk about that in a second. And the market was felt overdue to me anyway. The other thing to note on that graph, it's the low, there's this low red line all the way throughout the year to date. That's those infamous commodities I was just mentioning. So they still are down at the bottom of the pack, but no longer the worst. REITs now have that title, IYR. But you can see when I was mentioning that the commodities held up relatively well for this past month, you can see it in the graph as well. So check that out if you want. Now moving on to the next topic, the treasury market. So let's see. Yeah, basically, wow. So I guess that my if you look at the graph, rates, I always show the major treasury rates. Obviously, I recommend investing in other than just treasuries, to pick up credit spread. You be careful of what kind of credit you're picking up and know what you're getting paid for it. But I show treasury rates here just to isolate underlying rate moves and what's going on. So the graph is same as usual. Last 5 years I show for context. I got the 3-month, 2-year, 10-year, and 30-year treasury rates, the nominal rates that we all know and love. And then the not so common but very important 10-year tip real rate. So the rate you get, the coupon you get, in addition to inflation stacked on top of that. So up in till now, I guess the last 2 months, and so say up through July 31st, the 10-year and the 30-year, I call it the long end of the curve, rates have moved up like everything in 2022, but kind of since 2023, the longer end was kind of just hovering or, again, bouncing for sure, but not a clear trend picking up, while the 2-year rate and the 3-month T-bills much more sensitive to what the Fed says and raises rates. And so that moved up quite a bit. But the last 2 months, and especially this past month, 10-year and 30-year rates are on the move. So definitely a noticeable trend. We're up, again, same story here. The graph I show is through 10-3. So as of close last night is what the graph is showing. 10-year treasuries, 4.84%. 30-year treasuries, 4.96%. So big moves, definitely, talking about that minus 7.6% return on the 30-year, again, there was a bit more moves since end of month. And so a lot of stuff going on there, to watch. And then the other thing is on the graph, I show that 10-year TIPS real yield. That's actually up at 2.44 as of close last night. Remember, those were like negative. So the 10-year TIP at the end of 2022 was below minus 1%, and it's now positive 2.44. So a very substantial move in real rates as well. The interesting thing, and I'll move on here, is the interesting thing, you know, the long end is moving, so the 10-year and the 30-year nominals, but the real yields are kind of moving up in lockstep with it, generally speaking. So what this is telling me anyway is these higher rates on the long end, it's not that it's suddenly the market's pricing in renewed inflation concerns, but rather I think it's just more of just this huge supply. The market is repricing rate risk, in my opinion. We've got a lot of debt. The Treasury has to roll over a lot of debt in the next year or two. Remember, the Federal Reserve is rolling off their balance sheet, $95 billion with a B, every month that's hitting the market. So we just got a boatload of bond supply hitting the market, and we don't have as many buyers as we had back when the Fed was buying and back when, you know, other global buyers were out there. So again, the theme, you know, we've got more supply means prices down, which means rates higher. So that's in my opinion, the big driver of the long end right now. And then just, I've been saying it for a long time. So one more time, as a public service announcement, 3-month T-bills are now over 5.5%. So if you haven't by now, make sure you're checking your bank statements, especially if you have large balances. Next topic, move on to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve, FOMC, I guess the Federal Open Market Committee, who that stands for, had their meeting on September 20th. And they did not change rates. Again, recall they changed the short-term rates called the Fed funds rate. So no change in rates. So 5.25 to 5.5 is still the range. However, there was a lot of big news out of that meeting. So what was the big news? It was the summary of economic projections. They may sometimes refer to it as a SEP, but I always think of retirement plans when I hear that. So anyway, 4 times a year, FOMC puts out this summary of economic projections. It is where you may have heard of the dot plot. It's where this report, stepping back, it is economic projections from both the Federal Reserve board members. I think there's 5 of them, but don't hold me to that. And then also all of the Federal Reserve bank presidents. There's 12 of those that I do know. So it's not just the voting members, which is a subset of the bank presidents. It's everybody of those two groups I mentioned. So they ask those, let's call it 17 to 19 players, I can't recall which, participants, their view of what they think real GDP will be, unemployment rate, PCE inflation. Again, recall that's the Fed's preferred measure, runs slightly lower than CPI, both headline and core, and then the infamous where they think the Fed funds rate will be. So if you've heard of the dot plot, this is the report that shows you the dot plot. And that references the Fed funds rate and where the participants think it will be at the end of each of the next, it used to be just the next 3 years, but now I guess since we're close to the end of the year, they show 2026 for the first time. So on my blog post, I've got that table. You can also find it at the Federal Reserve website under monetary policy meetings, and then I think it's called the summary of economic projections, but something like that. But go to my blog post. There it is. I highlighted a few changes. So again, the big story was they kept in the potential one more rate hike before the end of the year. So 5.6 is where the median is. So again, current range of 5.25 to 5.5. That is implying one more rate hike is expected, the median for these 18 or 19 people. But the other interesting thing is for next year, so end of 2024, so the year they show, that means what do you think by 12/31 of 2024. And at the June projection, the participants, the median was at 4.6%. So kind of implying, or not kind of, implying exactly 100 basis point rate cut throughout 2024. Well, this new updated projection only shows 5.1. So they took away 2 rate cuts. So the Fed is saying higher for longer. So that's the, you may have heard that term in the news. The Fed is saying we're going to possibly raise rates one more time. Even if they don't, we'll see. But they're projected to keep rates higher for longer than the market was expecting. So that was big news. And the other thing, again, I mentioned the various economic projections they show. They still show a pretty pretty benign, you know, unemployment rate and inflation environment. So what they call a Goldilocks scenario. So they downgraded the unemployment rate for 2024. They were running that at 4.5% for 24 and 25. They brought that down to 4.1, and then inflation getting back under control, you know, 2.5 by the end of the year and end of 24. End of this year is 3.3. But anyway, expecting a pretty benign Goldilocks scenario. So, you know, the grabbing your porridge, and this one is just right. But again, let's remember these are projections. So actual data always trumps projections, and these are quite rosy looking. So we'll see what happens. And then moving on to my special topic of the month, again, rates is the big story that I already talked about. So I thought I'd mention, I guess it was last Friday, the movie Dumb Money came out. It's that movie about the stock frenzy of GameStop and GameStop and a few other stocks in early 2021. So I thought I would just give this opportunity to remind you. I had a blog post around that time. So as the news was fresh and we were all trying to figure out what was going on. So, it's a pretty helpful, I guess I'm biased, but I think it's a very helpful, clever explanation of what went on. And I used the analogy of Thin Mint cookies and kind of answering questions from my lovely going through the Q&A format. So as a reminder, if you're interested, go check it out. If you're going to the movie and want a reminder of what all the was going on and the key players, check it out and see how many of the actual events they cover in the movie. I've not seen it myself yet. So in summary, September was a negative month, pretty ugly, especially the long end bond curve. So markets were down, lots of negatives. Interest rates were the story. Especially the long end, the 10s and 30s, they started to move in September, August, and they definitely ran higher in September. And it's not done so far. We'll see what happens. We got a jobs report coming out Friday, so we'll see what happens there. The Fed did meet. September 20th was the conclusion. They kept rates steady, but their economic projections implied we're going to keep rates higher for longer, and they took out two rate cuts with the Goldilocks scenario as a background. And then, again, if you're checking out that movie, check out my blog post. And October is here. It's my favorite month of the year, but it's here, so go out and enjoy it. All right, that's a wrap on today's topic. Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.